the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
Well, thanks for tuning in to the Roundtable Podcast. The last two, we had a special guest, Danny Mackay, and hopefully that was really helpful, and we just enjoyed having him here at North Peace Church for the whole weekend doing some training. Today, we want to talk about a theme that kind of is all over Scripture, I guess, but we've picked one passage in 2 Corinthians 13 specifically. But it's the idea of testing your faith. So, Don, are you a Christian?
Yes, I am.
How do you know?
Someone's been thinking ahead of time. Well, I said a prayer when I was...
No, we want to talk about exactly that. How do you know that you are a follower of Jesus? Is it appropriate to test your faith, to regularly examine your life to say, hey, am I actually following Jesus? And so we're going to kind of dive into all of that, I guess. But let's read the passage in 2 Corinthians 13, Don. Why don't you read that one, and that'll kind of get the blood flowing, and we'll get the conversation going, and then we'll jump around to some other passages too. But this is where this topic came from, I guess. So
yeah, why don't you read that? Paul is writing to the Corinthians, the Corinthian church, and he's kind of been having to defend himself. The Corinthians are kind of putting pressure on him if he was a genuine apostle or not, and Paul has been defending himself a little bit, and then he comes back at them, and he says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, he says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." So Paul kind of puts it back in their own court and says, you know, each of us should be testing ourselves, examining ourselves. And then it's an amazing statement. Paul says, don't you realize that Christ Jesus is in you? And so this should produce, I guess, visible proof that there's something going on. So
yeah, and that's a bit of a, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. That's like a, whew. And immediately my mind goes to the beep test in high school where you had to run back and back. So we're not talking, like, people listening, they're not going to be like, okay, tell me, what are the three steps? Step one, put your Bible in front of you and da-da-da-da, let it fall open. Like, it's not, that's not what Paul's talking about, right? Like a set, yeah. Here's a multiple choice test, obviously. But we just want to say that just in case people are going, oh, what, there's a test? I didn't know there was a test. But what do you think he's talking about here? Right, he says, examine yourselves, see whether you're in the faith, test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you unless you fail to meet the test? So what do you think he means, test yourselves, examine yourselves? What would, so let's say I do that, what would give me confidence that I have passed the test or that I haven't? Like, what do you think? Are there certain things we look for to see if someone has passed the test?
Yeah, I think so. I think it goes back to even what Jesus was teaching in the Gospels there, which will help. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and a lot of us are familiar with Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night. And Nicodemus is this religious guy, Pharisee, that probably most of us would have put as elders in our church right away. And Jesus tells him, you have to be born again. Yeah. You're not even going to see the kingdom unless you're born again. And so Jesus explains that physically you can never make it to this kingdom of heaven or of God. And Jesus describes you have to be born again. So this is where Paul says, don't you realize that Jesus Christ is in you?
Yeah.
So if Jesus, like, think about that. If Jesus Christ is living inside of you, that will bring a change. And so I think in John, in 1 John says, anyone who claims to follow him, or he says, we come to know him if we live like him.
Yep.
So the test is kind of like, how are we getting closer to looking like Jesus and acting like Jesus? So I think that's kind of helpful, that there isn't 10 specific questions, but it's a lifestyle. It's becoming more like Jesus. So if we can see that, or if we can ask someone, hey, do you see Jesus in me? Or yeah. is there any evidence of that?
Yeah.
And if they go, well, yeah, this is something that I see totally different in you from even in the last year. So yeah. there's those kind of things that kind of show where you're at. So, and this is what Paul is asking us to examine ourselves, because we can, and this is the danger that Andrew and I were talking about, we can know a lot of this, but if it's not actually showing itself out, then there might be reason to question what's happening there. Are you,
yeah, are you actually
passing this test? Are you in Christ? Or do you just know about him?
Yeah.
Where it doesn't change anything how you live.
Yeah, and I think I really appreciated when Danny was here, because he talked a lot about that discipleship is not knowledge, it's obedience. And like, obviously, we grow in knowledge. Obviously, we're not saying we all don't read your Bible. We don't. It's not knowledge. It's the but really, discipleship is obedience. And I remember, and it came up in our life group too, a statement Danny made, you know, would you rather have someone who knows 90% of the Bible but only obeys 10% of it, or someone that knows only 10% of the Bible but of that 10% obeys 9%? So it was just one of those, oh yeah, wow. I think we've made Christianity just into an intellectual thing. We can have the tendency where, hey, I know really great doctrine, and I know my Bible, and I'm in Bible studies, and all that's fine. But if that's kind of where it stays, then, I mean, even the demons have really good doctrine. They know who Jesus is. They know who God is. And so, but they're not saved. So we go, oof. So I think this is a really good wake-up call, that we go, it's not just how much you know, how many Bible studies you're in, but are you actually being obedient to what Jesus says? And I love that. Like, are you becoming more like Jesus daily? Let's say maybe not daily. Okay, weekly. Every day I have to become. But you should be able to look back, let's say. Here's a great test. Every year on your birthday, look back and sit around with close friends and families and ask them, am I more like Jesus now as I'm turning 30 this year? Ugh. Than I was last year, right? Yeah. Last year on my birthday, do you think I'm more like, and that's a, it might be a real gut hit. No, you're not. Well, or it might be, hey, yeah, celebrating, you are more like Jesus than you. We should all be able to do that, really, because that's the goal, that we would be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. So this kind of, I don't know, let's talk a minute about the whole, you know, once saved, always saved. Because I don't know, this kind of seems like it maybe contradicts that. And if you don't know, it's that thing, you know, well, I said the prayer, I'm in, and you can't lose your salvation. So I don't know, what do you think, Don? Is Paul saying, hey, you might be able to lose your salvation? Or maybe he's saying, well, you never actually had it. Like, what do you think when he's saying, test yourselves? What if all of a sudden I go, oh man, I don't think I'm producing any fruit? What does that mean?
Well, I think Paul would be saying, at least that's how I understand it, is that Paul is saying that if there's no evidence of becoming like Jesus, that there may not have been a spiritual birth, because he says Jesus Christ is in you, so that you cannot remain the same. You can't stay there. So if you're not becoming like Jesus, I think that's where his warning is. You should examine yourself, because if you're finding something isn't right, you should be dealing with that now, not at judgment day when you find out, I don't know you.
Yeah, because that's the Matthew 7, when Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father. And then he says, on that day, many will say, didn't we prophesy, cast out demons, do mighty works? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you.
Yeah, that's scary. So yeah, I think it's, if Jesus truly has, if you have been born again, it will lead to moving towards Jesus. And if there isn't any evidence, Paul's saying, well, let's examine that and make sure.
Yeah.
Maybe there is some instruction you need. Maybe there's something you need to understand.
Yeah, and I know, I agree with you. I think once, if you actually surrender to Jesus and he lives inside of you, I don't think you can ever lose that. Mm-hmm. My thought would be that you never actually had it. And yeah. Some people will say, well, but I had like a real, genuine experience thing where I said the prayer, or we all probably know someone who went to the youth conference and had the genuine and went forward and then they don't. But I go, you know what? And this, I might get into trouble, but whatever. But I think our emotions can play tricks on us a lot of times.
Yeah. My brother's a perfect example. Okay. He, as a young person at camp, he heard, well, you're going to hell if you don't do this. So there was a seemingly genuine thing that happened, but it was more emotion, more of, well, I don't want to go to hell, so if this is the way out, then
sign me up.
But then, you know, his teenage years and young adult years, there was absolutely no fruit.
Yeah.
And then he was born again in his, you know, later 20s there. And then it was a true conversion where it was a dramatic change, and he knows that was the real thing.
Yeah.
Whereas he was kind of led to believe too, well, I did say that prayer.
So
but
you're
now
in.
Looking back, like, I wouldn't have made it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we can't judge that experience, but sure. If there's never no evidence, it's safe to say, well, let's look at this. Because emotion can do that, and we can.
And that's what Paul's saying, right, in Hebrews. If Christ is in you, like, test your faith, and hopefully you pass. So basically he's saying, and maybe I'm reading between the lines, but for some of you, maybe Christ isn't in you.
Yeah.
So do this test and go, oh, shoot, like, I'm not producing any fruit. I actually haven't surrendered to Jesus. Because I being a youth pastor, saw so many kids, raise their hand, check the box, come forward, usually at big youth conferences, and I would always go, awesome. But then I think back, okay, how many of them now are actually obeying Jesus and following him? Like, maybe 1%. Yeah, I don't know.
Very small percent.
Very small percent. And so I think there's a difference between, and I think it was Mark Driscoll, and some of you go, don't quote him. He had some good stuff to say. But he said there's a difference, I think, and I might be butchering this, but between professing and possessing. So lots of people can just profess, I'm a Christian, but then to actually possess that is a different thing. And I think what Paul is saying is, then the fruit of actually possessing salvation will start to show itself, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You got your finger in Hebrews.
Well, yeah. I mean, we were even talking about, even as believers, Hebrews 2, verse 1, in chapter 1, he's talking about the greatness of Jesus Christ, that he's the exact representation of God, and he has brought down the message of salvation. Then he says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. And even this whole idea of examining ourselves is important, because as believers, and I know in my own life this is true, how easy it is to coast or just basically, do know the word but not do anything about it, kind of get in this routine of just being stale and drifting away, like Hebrews is warning us. Can we lose our salvation? I don't think so, but I think we can become unproductive, unfruitful, and waste a lot of time where all of a sudden you look back and go, oof, nothing's going on.
Yeah, and I think I've been there lots too, when you know lots in your head and you're reading the Bible and you're memorizing stuff, but when you're not actually obeying and listening to the Spirit's guiding in your life and being actually, you know, obedient. I think that's where a lot of people go, man, Christianity is so boring. Because of course it is, if that's all you do. If all you do is sit around and you're not actually, like, I think when you actually begin to obey the Spirit, that's when it's fun. Mm-hmm. That's when it's actually like what Jesus talks about, the life to the full in John 10:10. Like, that's when it is, when you are actually walking and listening to God's Spirit and obeying when he's telling you to do certain, that's when it's like the full life. When it's just, you read your Bible and you memorize stuff, and then, of course, it's like, man, Christianity is so boring. Well, yeah, if you're not actually being obedient, of course it is. Like, I'll tell you, like, there's been times in my life when I've heard the Spirit saying, you know, for whatever, go back and talk to that person. And it's like I'm in my car driving away. I'm like, ah, I don't really want to. And it's been, I know that it's been, and I've been disobedient because it's just such a strong, like, pull over and go and just talk, pray with that person. It's like, ah. And I often wonder, like, what if I had done that? What if I had not been disobedient? Like, would that person have, and obviously I don't want to just walk around in guilt, but what would have happened? Like, how exciting would that have been to actually obey? But oftentimes it's just, well, I just don't have time. And I think obedience is key when we're following Jesus. Now, is that too legalistic, Don? Like, I don't know. I if you hear lots of words like obedience and following Jesus' commands and this and that, do you think people would push back and go, well, that just sounds like legalism?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that is exactly what I've heard. That's legalism, or that's, you know, that's not the freedom in Christ that they think we have. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 says, "We know that we have come to know him." This is Jesus that we're getting to know, if we obey his commands. It says, "The man who says, 'I know him,' but doesn't do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So it says, "But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him." And then he said, "This is how we are. We know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did." So it says there, if we're not willing to obey him out of love, we don't even know him. So when we say, "Well, I don't need to do that, that's too legalistic," we're probably in the zone of not even knowing Jesus, because that is who we would be. So it kind of says it pretty straightforward there.
You're a liar if you do that. Well, I love it. That's not us.
Yeah, that's right.
That's John calling you a liar.
John, who heard the Lord Jesus himself talk to him.
Saying that you are a liar. I think the problem is that when you talk about legalism, legalism is not just obeying commands. Legalism is obeying commands to earn your salvation. I think that's key. We have to understand that it's not just, oh, well, then no commands, do whatever you want. No, because we know that salvation is only through the death and resurrection of Jesus. You know, he purchased our salvation. It's a free gift. But then that's not the end of the message of Christianity. It's not just like, oh, and I've heard so many, especially when I was doing young adult ministry, well, freedom in Christ, we're not bound by the law. And they would, you know, hey, you got drunk this weekend? Is that something? Well, freedom in Christ, I know God forgives me. I'm just like, man, you are stupid. But that's what we do, right? I don't want to earn my salvation. It's like, well, you're not. So we have to understand all over the place, Jesus says he sets you free so that you would be a slave to righteousness. Yeah. You know, he says, my sheep hear my voice and listen. And like what Don just read in 1 John, you obey his command. Jesus even said to his disciples, right? In whatever it is, John, in that 15, 16, 17 chapter window, right? "If you love me, you will obey my commands." Mm-hmm. So we have to understand that Christianity is not just Jesus died for my sins and now I can do whatever I want. Christianity is Jesus dies for my sins, I surrendered him, he owns me, and now I am obedient to what he says. And I think we leave off that second part because it's sounds too much like law and we just
get... Well, yeah, it's even the whole idea of lordship, like he owns us, and that's not very inviting for people. Like, I want to be saved, I want to be forgiven, but I don't want to be owned by somebody, which is what Jesus said. "I died for you, I bought you, saved you from hell, so I do own you." And that's kind of hard for us to take sometimes.
So. Yeah, and I think that's why maybe we have some people have that, you know, I said a prayer, I'm in, because I think maybe we kind of sold Christianity is that it's, you know, get out of hell free card, and really when it should have been presented in a much more true to scripture way, that like this is going to cost your whole life. So yes, say the prayer, you know, ask Jesus to forgive you, thank him for his forgiveness, but then, okay, now it's going to actually be a life of obedience to him and service to him, and you don't own your life anymore. And I wonder if that was what was preached, how many would have actually, you know, said, yeah, sure, I'll do that.
A lot smaller crowd.
Because that's what Jesus did. Remember, I often say he was a terrible salesman. He often did that. You have to die. You have to pick up your cross and follow me. You have to hate your mother and father and brother and sister. You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And people were like, you're a psycho. And it says that many turned away. And so Jesus wasn't interested in crowds and just getting as many people to say the prayer. He wanted actual devout followers. Yeah. So why don't we, what are you flipping there, Don? Are you guys
on? Are you flipping out?
Are you flipping out?
Oh, I mean, we're just, I know people are still asking, well, how do we know for sure?
Yeah, and what's the test?
So obedience is one. If there's a desire to obey Jesus,
yeah,
is one, and he just clearly said that in 1 John. 1 John also says, dear friends, and this is chapter 4, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So there's another thing to examine ourselves. Is there a growing love for our brothers and sisters in the Lord?
Yeah.
If there's any hatred or bitterness towards other people, and that's kind of a consistent thing. It says you don't even know God, because God is love, and whoever has been born of God loves.
Yeah,
and this shows that you know God and you've been born of God. So
yeah,
there's another, and that's probably good reading. 1 John 4:7-21. It talks about this love that should be evident.
Yeah.
As a believer, so
yeah.
You're finding that's a struggle, then there's reason to examine, okay, what's going on here?
I think another one is the ability to show mercy to people. That's in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy, which we know is not, again, if I show mercy, then God will show mercy. But being merciful to people is a sign that you've received the mercy of God. Another one in the Sermon on the Mount is, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And again, I think what Jesus is saying is, if you are unable to forgive people, it's probably because you haven't experienced the forgiveness of God. So a sign that you are in the faith, that you are following Jesus, is that you will be able to forgive people. Mm-hmm. I think that's another test, I guess. So if you're noticing in your life, man, I have bitterness, I just can't seem to forgive people, I think Paul then would say, test yourself, examine your heart. Have you actually experienced the forgiveness of Jesus? Because if you have, what Jesus seems to say in the Sermon on the Mount, then you will be able to forgive others. And then there's the fruit of the Spirit, right, in Galatians 5. Which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I just remember the song, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Oh, salty, the singing song.
Yeah, we've had those.
Oh, yeah. But I think, let's say you examine your life to read that, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Read it, maybe ask your husband or wife or someone close to you, okay, are you seeing love in my life? Am I more joyful than I have been? Do I have more peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness? Am I growing in self-control? Those are all great tests to see, okay, am I actually, you know, if the Spirit of God lives in me, then I should be producing these fruits. Mm-hmm. And if not, then...
Yeah.
And not to say, like, immediately we all are more loving, joyful, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Like, that's not an overnight thing, right?
Yeah.
But you should be able to say, well, am I at least making baby steps?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it might not even have to do with your salvation is at stake, but it might be that you're not fruitful or productive anymore, and there might be some reasons to check that out. Where it might not be your salvation. Charles Spurgeon kind of turns the heat up a little bit on this examining thing.
Yeah.
He says, you can find out very quickly where you're at by your private life, what you do when you're alone.
Oof.
At home, on your like phones, computers, where do you gravitate towards?
Yep.
No, that's it.
No, thank you, Charles.
So he says this is a place where you need to examine yourself, because if when you're alone, you've got your no one watching you, how do you spend your time? And yep. If it gravitates towards, for example, as a guy, if you're heading towards the pornography, he says you better examine yourself and deal with that, because if that's where you're gravitating towards, then maybe your religion is just head knowledge. There's no heart transformation, because you should be going towards Jesus. So that's a huge one.
Yeah.
And then he said also in your public life, when you run your business, when you go to work, you know, as you head out, is your desire to be like Jesus, to reach people, or is it to make money, you know, worldly pursuits? So he says these are healthy examinations to do, where you gravitate towards when you head out to work or life, and in your own private world, where do things go? And he says this is a matter of life and death, of hell and heaven. Like he puts it very seriously. We can deceive ourselves right into hell.
Yeah.
And he says, this is why Paul says, examine yourselves. Like, do it for, it's not just for, I should just check it out once in a while. Just check the stock market, see where we're at. Oh, we're over here. So.
Yeah, I forget who it was, either John Wesley or Spurgeon or someone that said, you know, gradual is the decline and soft. I'm not poetic or whatever. But he says, basically, the road to hell is gradually sloped and very soft, and we can sometimes fool ourselves because, man, this is nice. And I remember one pastor talked about a butcher farm or whatever where they slaughter cows, and he says the conveyor belts now, because cows won't go on just any, but they've actually put like fake grass, and so it's soft, and on the sides of the conveyor belts leading towards the like slaughter machines, there's massage things, so it's like, so the cows are hopping on, and it's, man, this is soft, and oh, I'm getting a massage, and then right in between the eyes, and they're dead. And that one pastor said that's exactly what it's like when we are just on a road to hell, and man, it feels good and it's soft, and we're buying into these lies, and it all says whack right between the eyes. And I think Spurgeon is right on that we're not just messing around with, you know, examining myself and yeah, I'm following. Like, this is, I think he's right. This is heaven and hell. This is eternal things at stake here. Now, I don't know, how often would you say do we examine ourselves? We obviously, we don't live in fear like, I'm not a Christian, I need to, or do we?
Well, according to the Bible, we should be pretty concerned about it. But I think your suggestion, like once a year at your birthday to ask some friends to do. I mean, I know I've done the scary thing where I ask my children, so how am I doing as a dad, as an example? And
that could be a pretty depressing birthday.
It can be. I don't do it on my birthday. I do it away, right, so I don't ruin it.
Wise man.
But even with marriage, I'm probably due for that question here pretty soon. But to ask once in a while, like, where are we at? What does it look like in other people that I work with here as a pastor? What do you see that's going good, and what do you see that needs improvement? And I always say, I want you to be honest too. So yeah, especially with your children, that's a risky question, but it's well worth it, because you do find out where, like, I can easily deceive myself or just be blind to the fact that I'm in a bad habit, or I'm saying things I shouldn't, or coming on in anger instead of in grace and not even realizing it. So I would say you're suggesting for once a year just to do a checkup.
Yeah.
Here and there.
Yeah, because I don't think, like, I think there's a healthy fear of the Lord, which is more, you know, just awe and, You know, it's like I often say when you're a kid, you should have a healthy fear of your parents. Same kind of thing. Yeah. Not that I'm like, I can't go and talk to them, but it's more like, oh yeah, they're in charge. And so I don't think that every day we wake up and go, oh, am I still a Christian? I don't think we don't live with this unhealthy fear of, if I'm, okay, I got to produce fruit today or else I'm not going to be a Christian. Like, I think that's not what the Bible is talking about. But I think, Don, you're right. Like, there should be this healthy fear going, examining, if I'm not producing fruit, if I'm not being more loving and joyful and patient, and if I can't have any self-control, if I don't forgive people, if I'm not merciful, then to really go, is it just because I'm in a stale spot, or am I... have I actually surrendered to Jesus? And to go, that's a scary question, but it's a good question to go, not every day, well, I wasn't merciful today, so now I'm not a Christian. But I think to look back, even today, after you listen or whatever, to sit down and go, a year ago, am I more like Jesus now than I was a year ago? And if not, to go, well, why not? Am I just coasting? Did I just say a prayer when I was a kid and I haven't really ever surrendered? Like, to just ask yourself those questions. And the amazing thing is with Jesus, there is no pit that's too deep that his grace doesn't go down into, right? First John says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's not like Jesus will say, well, you've been coasting for 20 years, so you've gone over what I can do, so you're screwed now. Thankfully, you can still drop to your knees, confess your sins, and fully surrender to Jesus and obey him, and he'll take you back, kind of thing. So that's the incredible part, that it's not like, hey, you've reached the 10-year mark of coasting, sorry, you're hooped now.
You're hooped.
It's Jesus is ready to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, to forgive you, and for you to be obedient to him. So that's the encouraging part.
Yes, amen.
That every time we examine our lives, we can fall on our knees and ask for forgiveness when we're not. Mm-hmm. And I think to encourage you again, and I'll say it again, and discipleship is about obedience. And I think Danny, the way he said that, it's just been ringing around in my head a lot. So to encourage you that, like, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to follow Jesus. It's really good to study your Bible. But I would say, and maybe, Don, you can correct me, but more important than just studying your Bible is actually obeying what it says.
Yeah.
So I think to do that, so to read, like, you don't have to read 5 books of the Bible a day. Read some verses, but then go, okay, well, how do I obey Jesus in this? So if Jesus tells me, I'm just going to use an example, in the Sermon on the Mount, to not look at a woman lustfully, then I go, poof. Okay, so for me to be obedient to Jesus, this week, Jesus, help me not to look at women lustfully. Help me to bounce my eyes or to get rid of stuff in my life. That's important than just knowing, yes, I shouldn't look at a woman lustfully. Actually do it, right?
Do it, yeah.
Actually be obedient, because that's what being a disciple of Jesus is. Yeah. Any other thoughts, Don? Or?
Yeah, well, I want to read some encouraging words from Hebrews 2. None of us are going to claim to say, I'm just like Jesus. We're all going to be falling short of that, and that is a constant thing we can kind of beat ourselves up on or feel bad about. But it says in Hebrews about Jesus, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So Jesus gives us tremendous encouragement on our journey to become like him, that he is so approachable. We're supposed to approach him in confidence and to receive grace and mercy in our time of need. And we know we need grace and mercy in our journey to become like Jesus. to pray and ask him to search our hearts and show us where we need help. But he is so for us, so with us in this journey that he wants us to come to him in confidence. Mm. And whether it's confessing sin or whether it's I need help, like this is not working, or I want to become more like you, Jesus has done everything he can and wants to help us in that. So that's a tremendous encouragement to remember that. Of course, the enemy wants us to stay in the shame and guilt and all that. Jesus lifts us out of that and with confidence to come to him.
Mm.
And we can continue on our journey to look like Jesus every,
Amen.
More like every day.
And I can't wait till the journey's over.
Wow.
That sounds very... I'm not saying I want to die, but kind of like Paul, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Because and all Christians should have that attitude. Man, I can't wait till Jesus returns or heaven happens or I... Not that we have a death wish, but like then the struggle's over and we are like Jesus fully. That's going to be awesome. We've decided that every podcast we want to do some book recommendations.
I would recommend First John.
Oh, Don's so spiritual. I brought these non-biblical books. Don recommends the Bible.
Have you tested yourself?
Oh, wow. You're a better pastor than me. But we wanted to recommend additional reading. So yeah, first, always start in the Bible, First John, right? But for those of you who are readers, I guess, whether we have a book or an article or whatever, a magazine to pick up, to dive deeper into these types of topics or similar, you know, things. So this week I'm recommending two books. three. First, the Bible, the whole Bible. And then C.S. Lewis wrote a book, Mere Christianity. And it's not necessarily about, you know, examining your faith. It just really lays out, you know, what does it mean to be a Christian? And he goes through all sorts of things that we've been talking about, forgiveness, faith, social morality, sexual morality, Christian marriage. That's a really good book. And then Simply Christian by N.T. Wright. And this, again, is just very much a walkthrough. Okay, this is what it means to be a Christian. And so those are really good books if you want to pick them up. Or if you want to swing by the church, you can borrow my copies as well.
And I was going to say, too, like we would like nothing more than for you to come and join us in one of our offices and talk about this.
Totally.
Work together and grow. We would count a privilege to do that.
Yep, absolutely. And I think next week we're going to just be answering kind of a mailbag type of thing because we threw it up on Facebook for ideas and we got four or five. So maybe we'll try and just answer a whole bunch of different things next week. Hot Seat Podcast. So that's if you have questions, if you listen to this and you're going, man, I would love for you to talk about this. You can email either Andrew@mpnbchurch.com or Don@npnbchurch.com or on, well, Don's not on Facebook. Why are you so old?
I am on Facebook.
Don is on Facebook and so am I. And so you can just shoot us a question if you want for next week. Talk to you later.